The picture on the cover of your bulletin is Jesus carrying a lamb. And that is the picture most frequently associated with this gospel story. It's more fitting for John chapter 10, where Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep." Because it's not obviously Jesus when we read this text. That's actually what we bring to the text from centuries of stained glass, children's Bibles, and paintings. In fact, perhaps we ought not to see this particular shepherd as Jesus. That argument is made in the book Short Stories by Jesus by Amy Jill Levine, a New Testament scholar who is Jewish and teaches in Georgia. Her book is subtitled Enigmatic Parables of a Controversial Rabbi. And printed in big on the back cover is this: "Have we domesticated Jesus' radical and provocative parables?" She says, we should not think of this shepherd as Jesus. In fact, she makes the case, this case, for all three of Jesus' lost stories. There are three of them. We heard two of them, and they all come in a row. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. That is, as we would know it, the prodigal son. A series of three stories where the lost is found, going from 100 down to 10, down to one, or actually maybe two sons that are both lost, and maybe even the father is lost. So Amy Jill Levine says this about these stories, not to read in that this is Jesus, and here are her reasons. First, as a devout Jew, she is very attentive to where Christians slide into anti-Jewish interpretation. It's here in how the Pharisees are characterized when Jesus was actually very much like them. And the other example, which is the most common one, is in the third story that we did not read today about the father with the two sons. Because everywhere that she has heard that text preached, it always ends up that the younger son who is welcomed into the arms of the father is Christians, and the resentful older brother is Jews. It actually doesn't work because it means that we Christians were out, you know, squandering our money on prostitutes. We already can tell it doesn't quite fit as a story. These stories don't fit the framing that Luke gives them about sinners and forgiveness. For example, Luke says that 99 sheep did not need to repent. Well, actually, all 100 sheep are not capable of repentance, but all of us need it. And so that kind of breaks down as well. Sheep can't repent, and neither can coins. At least with the coin, you get the image of a woman finding it, and you could say that's a female image of God. But even that's problematic because the coin didn't run away or hide. She lost it, and the shepherd lost his sheep. That doesn't work for us thinking about Jesus. So going down the road of another way of interpreting these stories, there is a way. And the precedent is actually set because Matthew tells another version of this story, and he uses it for a very different lesson. Matthew's version in chapter 18 has this, and I'm going to read the whole thing. Jesus says, "What do you think? If a shepherd has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go search for the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So is it not the will of your Father in heaven? It is not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones should be lost." It kind of works better the way Matthew does it. But Matthew's version is actually in a section about church leadership. And the version for the word for astray, the Greek word, means deceived. So he's not really talking about sheep in Matthew. He's talking about people who are deceived and leave the community. So since there's more than one version of the story, can we then say that these stories, since they were used by Jesus, we should be able to go beyond the New Testament and get closer to Jesus himself? I personally think that's risky business, because the only way we know of Jesus is in the New Testament. And many scholars have said, oh, I'm going to find what Jesus really said. And they seem to end up creating a version of Jesus in their own image. And so I want to say a caution about doing that. But since there are these two versions, let's just go with it and see where it takes us. Let's suppose that the shepherd is not Jesus, and the woman looking for the coin is not Jesus. Instead, the shepherd is us. And the woman is us. And they would indeed be wealthy versions of us. 100 sheep. 10 coins that were worth at least each a monthly paycheck. And she owned her own home. Now, if the man had had 5 sheep, and one went missing, he would readily see it. And even if you had, say, 10 quarters in your hand and you removed one, you wouldn't readily notice that there were only 9 in your hand. These are stories about people who already have a lot. They have abundance. They just haven't been sufficiently attentive to what they do have. That might be for us, for our times, for our abundance. And it's a good practice, when you have abundance, to take stock, to sweep the house and see what's left once the dust is unclogged from our eyes. Some of our wealth, especially when we have abundance, is easily forgotten or not noticed. So if you think about that shepherd looking out on the hill, he can't just eyeball 100 sheep and say, oh, one's missing. He's got to actually do the count. It's good for us to do the count of what we have. And it's on us to do it in order to say that we are good stewards of our affairs. So we sweep. We take an inventory of what we really do have. We find it's more than we expected, and that we can do more with it, and it's worth doing. And that, like this woman and this shepherd, we can even look forward to holding a party with our friends. As this is the day of a significant special vestry, abundance is actually a good theme for us. It ties this reading to the previous passage of what Jesus said and which we read last week. And he says, For which of you intending to build a tower does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? We're going to talk about the extent of our abundance today. Now, all three of these tales of the lost that Jesus tells, are easily applied to people. In fact, that may be how you've heard it or how you would read it. And that's an important interpretation too. In this time following the pandemic, still in it, but coming out of it, we pray, are we all accounted for? All 100 of us? That's going to be a significant focus for us too. Calling the people who are to be St. John's together. Because estimating the cost of a building isn't about a vanity tower for us. It's about where we bring people together and how we bring them together. How we help each other to become unlost, found. We're each on that journey, personally, of being found. And when we come together intentionally as a community, we watch people who are our family, our extended family, each in the process of becoming unlost, found. This is the place where we light the path for each other. And it's good for us to have a time of reckoning about our abundance to do it well. Amen.